Hi, if you're looking for greater hope, assurance, and confidence through the shifting sands of life, then join me on today's episode as we dig deep into the Bible to discover rock-solid truth for life and living from the God of the Bible. I'm your host, Scott Keffer. Hi, and welcome to today's episode. As always, for a deeper experience, you can go to the show notes and download the blank insight sheet. Fill in the blanks along with the group. Depending on how you're listening to this, there will be a link to the episode website at beholdingbibletruth.com, and a sheet with the answers is included as well. Enjoy today's episode.
I was about 12 years old. We lived north of Chicago in Barrington, Illinois, and we got word that there were tornadoes coming. And we were put on alert. So my brother and I, well in tune with the situation, were outside praying. No, playing, not praying. Because we didn't know God. We had no place for God in our home or our life at all. And he didn't play any part. So we're out back playing. And all of a sudden, the sky got yellow, almost like a yellow magic marker. Like everything had that yellow color. It was really strange. And then complete silence. It's as if somebody turned the sound off. And we just stood there for a minute. And then all of a sudden, hail the size of golf balls came flying. So that was sort of our cue to go inside. To which my mother was saying, "What are you doing? You're crazy." She said, "Get downstairs. Get downstairs. Get downstairs." And I can remember sneaking a peek out the back window. We had a large window, kind of looked out back, and you could see it was about a mile away, about three quarters of a mile away, the tail of the tornado. And I remember being, you know, amazed and freaked out kind of all at the moment. But the key was to be on alert and to be ready to take action. And we're now at a place in Matthew where they are celebrating the idea of be on the alert and ready to take action as they are entering into the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So we're going to look at that today. We've got a short scripture, but still stand, if you will, and read with me. Matthew 26, 17 through 19. Now on the first day of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?" And he said, "Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says, my time is near. I am to keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.' The disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, the seven feasts that were kept in Israel for us as Gentiles, maybe for us as believers, have a little impact. Many do not know what they are or what significance they are. And we are here at a place to see, as always, that all things, as Jesus said along the road to the two men, all scripture points to me. All scripture points to me. So all the feasts point to the Lord Jesus. God's purposes are all fulfilled in him. He said he did not come to annul, but to fulfill. So we see the fulfillment here. So we have the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So on the 14th day of Nisan, the Passover occurred, and then it was the preparation day, and then there were 7 days, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is where we are here on the first day of Unleavened Bread, the preparation day, in other words, right? Preparation day for the 15th day, which is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And of course, their day started in the evening. Their day started in the evening. So they, in Deuteronomy, it reminds us, you shall not eat leavened bread with it. 7 days, you shall eat it unleavened bread, the bread of affliction. Why? They were under affliction. So they called the unleavened bread the bread of affliction. He says, "For you came out of Egypt in haste." And it says, why do you do that? So that. always pay attention. So that is a pointer. It's an arrow. It's a reminder that what came before is identified, right, or fulfilled in, right? So that, why do we do it? So that you may remember. Remember all the days of your life, the day when you came out of the land of Egypt. So you are to remember, right? You eat unleavened bread. So it's a feast to celebrate God's provision, right? The fact that he brought them out of Egypt, right? They were slaves in Egypt. So God led them out of slavery. The Passover was a reminder that the blood was the protection. And it was also to remember that they left in haste. They left in haste. There was no time for the bread to rise. So you were to have unleavened bread, bread that did not rise. And they were waiting, just like we were waiting for the tornado to show up. They were waiting for God's word, it's time. And they were to throw it in their knapsack and go. Right? So they were on the alert. They couldn't even put leaven in the bread. And the idea is they went in haste. And the feast was really this idea of an appointed, literally means appointed times. So the feast, they celebrate, and it's also a reminder. And it says, 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread in Exodus. But on the first day, what are they to do? Remove it from your house. So on the first day, you're to go through the house, spring clean. All the leaven, and you would take it out and you'd burn it outside of the house. So it's not just in the food. He says, on the first day, you shall also have a holy assembly and another assembly on the seventh day. And what occurred there? No works at all shall be done to them. You shall also observe the Feast of Unleavened Bread, for on this very day I brought your host out of the land of Egypt. So it's a reminder that God is the God of deliverance and the God of their salvation, right? Therefore, you shall observe this day. And he also says, as a permanent ordinance. In other words, never to be forgotten, never to be given up, of course, until he would fulfill it. But so there was no leaven in the house or in the food. No leaven in the house or the food. So they were to cleanse the house. What's that a picture of? Literally leave behind the ways of Egypt, right? They were to cleanse the house, right? To leave away. So they've been in Egypt, right? They've marinated, even though they're God's people, they've marinated in the ways of Egypt. So they are a picture of leaving behind the ways of Egypt. And also, it's interesting because it's bookended by literally a holy convocation is what it says, where no work is done. No work is done. No work bookends. That, I believe, is to meditate and remind them of God's supernatural power, providence, and provision. God's supernatural power, providence, and position. Not only in the deliverance, if you will, from slavery in Egypt, but in their protection along the way and the provision that would have to happen. You're going to leave Egypt and you're going to go out into the desert, right? And all that followed after that. So the Feast of Unleavened Bread, along with the Passover, was a great reminder come spring of what God had done. And then the picture of leaven is further defined, if you will, by Jesus. It can be used in a positive way. He says the kingdom of heaven is like leaven, right? A picture of a small amount and the influence growing. But generally, it's a negative influence, right? Generally, it's a negative influence. So he talks here about the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. So one of the pictures of leaven is hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. And of course, the picture of hypocrisy, when we saw it, it was to put on a play face. but really a play face. So it's not, it's often used right against Christians. Oh, you espouse this, but then you end up, you know, falling short. That's not hypocrisy. When you teach or preach or stand for what's true and you sin and fall and you ask for forgiveness and brokenness, that's not hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is a play face. When I pick up a face in order to portray a false image to you. So that was the Pharisees, right? They were openly, what he said, you pray to be heard by men. Jesus said, when you pray to be heard by men, you have your reward. Otherwise, when you pray, go into your closet. You give to be seen by men, right? You fast to be seen by men. You scrunch your face, right? And you put on a billboard. Hey, by the way, I'm fasting. I just want you to know I'm super spiritual. Oh, by the way, right? So this picture that it's for the false image that it puts up. In other words, for them, hypocrisy is they maintain a spiritual Facebook page where you get to brand yourself, but behind it, it doesn't really reflect who you are or who you seek to be. So hypocrisy, the Facebook of Jesus time. Secondly, he says that the leaven of Pharisees was also the leaven of Herod. Interesting. The leaven of Pharisees was also the leaven of Herod. So it does have a picture of the sense of influence, but that's not the word here. The word, I believe, is corruption. That both of them had a sense of corruption. Because it's astounding here, because we're at the point in the Gospel of Matthew that it's beyond we're annoyed by Jesus. It's beyond we've been made to look foolish by Jesus. It's beyond he seems to be putting our power in jeopardy, right? And our authority in jeopardy and our standing in jeopardy. And he appears to be rocking the boat with the Romans. But now it's gotten to the point that we have plotted to what? To kill him. Now, if you go through that and think about what? I can remember when we would go through the choice and, you know, we'd go through the play, the choice. I may have seen the choice. We'd go through that. I would think there was a time when you would think something flipped here from they're mad at him. He's threatening them to, we're going to plot to put him to death. Yai. Apart from the predetermined plan, which scripture says it was, think about that they'd gotten to the place that their positions were being threatened such that we're going to put him to death. So the corruption was deep within inside of them, right? And of course, they are the leaders of the people. So corruption. And then lastly, I think this picture, it talked about the Sadducees. Sadducees say there is no resurrection, no angel, no spirit. They didn't believe in the afterlife. So I put on their unbelief, just generally part of it seems to be unbelief. Good. That makes sense. So leaven has a picture of sin, but particularly hypocrisy, corruption, and unbelief. So they're on the first day of unleavened bread. They're going to celebrate the Passover. And then we're going to see that Jesus, of course, is going to be crucified and buried in the midst of this feast. So I thought about, how does this apply for us? What's the application for us? So they're ready in Egypt. They have their unleavened bread ready to throw it in their knapsack and go when the Lord says go. So interesting, because we've seen from the talents and the parables this being ready, this whole idea of being ready, right? So it mirrors, here he is, he's kind of defined with the parables, be ready, but it's be ready to obey. It's a be ready to obey. Be ready to obey. So they were on the alert. And when the Lord said, go, right? Because you have some friends, when you would say duck, some people would duck. Most people would. Then other people, I had this one friend, you'd say duck, and they'd say, well, why? Did you ever have a friend like that? Maybe you're like that, right? Well, right? So when they say duck, you go, well, how come? Like, what's going on, right? So the idea here is when God says duck, we duck. And that's the picture, I think, part of it in the Feast of Unleavened Bread is that they went forth in haste. In other words, they were ready and prepared to go when God said go. Samuel said, has the Lord as much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Well, sometimes it's easier to offer than it is to obey. He says, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. And the word to heed, the Hebrew word is to hear with intent to respond. Not listen and evaluate, but listen and obey. To heed is better than the fat of rams. Dang. Don't you hate scripture sometimes? Like, it just is so convicting.
Yeah.
Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And then, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And then he says, by the way, his commandments are not burdensome. So Jesus said, come to me, all who are weary, heavy laden, take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light, right? So it's a different kind, but it's a willingness, right? And I love this, because right in the midst of it, it says the first day of unleavened bread, Jesus said, go to the city and say to him, the teacher says, and what's it say? The disciples did as Jesus directed them. That's the picture. Go to the city, right? Not, okay, well, why are we going to that city? Why not another city? Is there a better plan, right? I always have a better plan. Any of you? The Lord says, go here, Rio. Like, wait a minute, I got some ideas here. And it gives that picture, right? Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, right? My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. There's that picture, right? The sheep is waiting, knows the shepherd, the voice of the shepherd. When the shepherd calls, the sheep respond. The shepherd calls, the sheep respond. When we take a walk through the neighborhood with Chester there, up on the corner there, there's a house with two black labs, and so they're barking at the fence. And the guy has them really well. So they'll bark, and then they look. And if he's out there, if he's not out there, they bark again. But then they look. And if he comes out, he just says one word, and they're over. Yeah, very impressive. But that's the picture, right? Bark, look. Right? That's our picture. We follow him, right? We follow him. And it says in... where is that? Isaiah? The Lord awakens my ear. He opens my ear to listen as a disciple. He opens my ear. I think it's Isaiah 55, 50, verse 5. He awakens me morning by morning, and he awakens my ear to listen as a disciple. So I have to pray that the Lord not only wakes me up, but he opens my ear. Isn't that a good prayer? Lord, open my ear. Well, even, Lord, help me to want to pray that you open my ear. because it just reminds me of the stubbornness of my heart. I don't know if you all struggle with that, but I don't want to obey. I want to obey me. I want to follow me. I want to do it my way. I want to do it my way, my time. But it says they, disciples, did as Jesus had directed them. And that's the picture. A disciple is a learner and a listener to the one. So how are you doing? I didn't do a 1 to 10 here, Mike, but how are you doing with the ready to obey? You can answer that in every way you like it, but it's just a good, because here in this feast is to stop and think, right? It's a feast to remember. Feast to remember. So how are you doing with ready to obey? On alert here, Lord. I think the second thing as I look at this is, he says in 1 Corinthians, to remind us how this connects to us, he says, let's read this. Your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough? Clean out the old leaven so that you may be a new lump, just as you are in fact unleavened. For Christ, our Passover, also had been sacrificed. Therefore, let us celebrate the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So it gives us that picture here. So this idea of the clean your house, clean your house. Clean your house like they did in the feast, clean your house of the leaven of sin. And he says that leaven is malice and wickedness. And that's among the people of God, malice and wickedness. And the unleavened piece is this idea of sincerity, right? And truth. And he says something really interesting in there, just as you are in fact unleavened. So after clean your house of the leaven of sin, put a colon and write, we are to be unleavened. We are to be unleavened. We're the new lump. We're the unleavened bread, right? We're the unleavened bread. So clean your house of the leaven of sin. So for you, what needs to go in spring cleaning? Right? We're about that time where you start to think, clean out the old junk. So for you, what? Maybe it's a recurring sin. Maybe it's a favorite sin. Maybe it's a fun sin, whatever that is. What needs to go in spring cleaning? Search me and know me. So it's just a reminder, Lord, what needs from time to time. So that's the idea. They stop and they think, okay, what is it? And so we all have our sin stuff. We all have our sin stuff. Mine is not yours. Maybe it's similar, but we all have our sin stuff, right? So it's just a reminder. And Lord, search me. Right, David prayed, search me and know me, see the evil way in me, see the hurtful in way, and lead me in the way everlasting. Lead me in the way everlasting. The next is this idea of leave behind, right? So clean out, but the idea of leave behind the influence. Leave behind the influence of the world system. They came out of Egypt, right? They marinated in the Egyptian system of thinking, worldview, right? Thoughts, actions, and leave behind the slave of Egypt. Leave behind the old man. Leave behind the old man. Leave behind the influence of the world system and the old man. He says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect, right? Do not be squeezed into the world's mold, the world's system, right? Leave behind the influence of the world. And so he said in Ephesians, when you walk the picture of your daily life, right? Not only the steps that you take, but the thoughts that go into the steps you take, don't walk just like the Gentiles do. Right? Why? They're hardened in their heart. They're callous. They're given to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. And we were, he earlier in Ephesians 2, we were dead in our sins and trespasses. That's your former life. You lived in Egypt. You were a slave in Egypt. So he says, remember, that's how, right? But he says, in reference to your former manner of life, lay it aside. Lay aside the old self. So if you think about how many came under 10, came to Christ under 10? Anybody come under 10 years old? Right? So our kids would have been around 5 or so when, you know, Beth kind of walked them through salvation and it seemed to stick. You know, it'd become a reality, 5, 6, something like that. There's not a lot of old, right? Not a lot of memory of old, right? With the old self, right? How many became in their teenage years, 10 to 20? Okay, so a little bit old. How many came 20 to 30? That was me. Anybody over 30 came to Christ? Yeah, so much more old self, right? So the laying aside, you've marinated a whole lot longer in that. So he says, right, remember the former manner of life. Well, for some of you, it's clearer than it is here, right? Lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and be renewed in the spirit of mind, and underline, put on the new self. There's an old self, and it says, put on the new self. What's the new self? In the likeness of God, it's been created. How? In unleavened fashion, right? In righteousness and holiness of the truth. It's the new self is unleavened. The old self is leavened, if you will. That picture, right? So you come out, the new self is an unleavened self. So depending, each of us has our world system influence favorites, the stuff we still let get access to us, right? And impact our thinking and how we view stuff, right? So I put on there, what's the biggest influence you need to leave behind? Is it Egyptian radio? Is it Egyptian social media? Is it Egyptian, right? So you start thinking about it. What is it? There's a picture, of course, they got stuck out in the wilderness, to which they said, oh, I'm really glad to be gone from Egypt. No, what'd they say? Oh, I wish we were back in Egypt. I really loved the leeks and the food we got. It was so much fun making bricks. But, you know, once you've been delivered from that, right, then grace covers our memories somewhat. Plus, we tend to, you know, think better about the way it was. And you have the enemy, you know, kind of, and you go, oh, remember, that's not so bad.
The good old days.
The good old days, yeah.
Weren't so good.
When I had, yeah, they weren't so good. They weren't so good.
Yeah.
They weren't so good. I was a professional heathen. I was working on multiple advanced degrees in heathenism, and I was doing pretty well till he got my attention. So he says, what are we to think about this? He says, now for this very reason also in 2 Peter, applying all diligence. What does the word diligence mean? What's that mean? Okay. Put in their effort.
Persevere.
I'm going to get a... Okay, so let's think about diligence. Diligence has a picture of effort. Okay. Persevere. What else we need to think of?
Consistency.
Say it.
Consistency.
Consistency. Perseverance. Consistency. Anybody else? Diligence.
Like thoughtful or careful in your effort? Like you're
thoughtful. Careful, right? I definitely want a pilot who's diligent about their profession, huh? I definitely want a doctor who's diligent about, I want the mechanic on my car to be diligent about that, right? So it's clear that I want others to be diligent, right? So effort, perseverance, consistency, it certainly has this picture of, right, priority, right? Certainly as careful, thoughtful, so diligent at all times. Yeah, all times. I hope that my pilot is diligent at all times. Right? Yeah. So he says, applying all diligence in your faith. And then he says, what's that look like? Supply moral excellence, knowledge, self-control, perseverance in your perseverance, godliness in your godliness, brotherly kindness and brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities, right? So we're adding those in, right? Mixing those in. That's certainly a picture of the unleavenedness, right? Kind of what does that look like? And they're increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful. The true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from sin. So it also says that when we add diligence, we have clarity, because he said if you don't, then you're blind. And he also says you're short-sighted. So this is definitely that we're, you know, we're far-sighted. In other words, you know, we have good perspective. Because the Bible says sin is fun in the short term, isn't it? It is fun. I mean, there's a lot of sin that's fun in the short term. And it's easy to surrender to it in the short term, isn't it? It's easy to keep surrendering to it in the short term. How do I know? I do it regularly. right? So he says, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. Well, that freaks some people out. How could you make certain? In other words, just confirm what is already true. Does that make sense? Just bring into reality the truth that his calling and choosing you is irrevocable. We already know that. But he's saying, make your actions and your perspective and your clarity operate as if that's true. Operate as if it's true. You'll never stumble, for in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. So the question there is, we remember and the idea in the feast is a time to step aside, to break from normal activity in order to think and evaluate. Does that make sense? Remember. So how diligent are you in your faith journey? You could do a 1 to 10 there. How are we doing with diligence in our faith journey? So, and it's again in this time of unleavened bread, right? As you think about this idea of leaven, remembering and cleansing and pursuing, that the power of sin has been broken, yet the presence of sin remains, doesn't it? Dang. So the house has been cleaned, but there's still leaven inside of it. For if you become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly you shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. The old self was crucified with him, in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we're no longer slaves of sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. So the house has been, the blood has been applied, and the house has been deemed clean. Yet there's still leaven inside of it, right? So we still struggle with sin in our lives, don't we? Paul said, "What for what I am doing, I do not understand." How many times he felt like this? For I'm not practicing what I would like to do, but I'm doing the very thing that I hate. Gee, but if I do the very thing I do not want to do, I actually validate the law, right? I agree with the law, confessing the law is good. No longer am I the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh. Still here, for the willingness is present, but the doing of the good is not.
The good that I want, I do not do, but I practice the very evil that I do not want. Ha! Ah.
But he says, thanks be to God. He finishes that up. Thanks be to God for the Lord Jesus Christ.
And then he reminds us up on above, as the power of sin is broken, yet the presence of sin remains, dot, dot, dot. And on that space put for now.
The promise is he will unleaven us. The promise is he will unleaven us.
For sure, that the presence of sin will be gone. He will transform the body of this humble state, this body, my bread, if you will. He will transform the body of this humble state into conformity with the body of his glory, which is unleavened, right? How will he do that? By the power he has, even to conform all things to himself. Is that good news? That's great news. That is great news.
The gospel isn't good news. It's great news. I mean, it is great news. It is great news for now. So we struggle in that in-between time, don't we? So the other piece is they were to remember God's supernatural power, providence, and provision.
Remember his supernatural power, providence, and provision. I love the word providence. It's God's sovereignty in his loving kindness together. His sovereign loving kindness together.
And his power. Why do I remember it? Otherwise, it says when things are good, when you get into the land and the winds shift, and it's not affliction anymore, but hey, I got a nice house. Things are going pretty well. I got a nice 401k. You know, I got my vacation home. Things are going well. You might say in your heart, hey, I'm pretty amazing. My power, the strength of my hand made me this well. But he says, you shall remember. Had that up in my office, had that up in my office at home. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who is giving you power to gain wealth. It says, and David said right at the end, both riches and honor come from thee, and in thy hand is power and might. And it lies in thy hand to make great and to strengthen everyone. It lies in thy hand, right? So he says, remember, we just remember his supernatural power, providence, provision. So it's a time when you stop and you say, God delivered me and God keeps me. God calls me and God keeps me. And he does it supernaturally. And everything from a piece of paper falling out of the Bible to miraculous healing, to, you know, a parking space when you need it, to, you know, all things in between, isn't it? He's saying, if I am supernatural and I am sovereign, my hand is upon all those. So what supernatural provision can you remember and thank him for today, from big to small? On the day of the eclipse, what day was that? Was that Monday? Yeah. Yeah, so I had a meeting in the afternoon, so we're trying to figure out when do we walk Chester, and how'd that happen? So, oh yeah, so Beth said, we don't walk now. I said, I got stuff to do. I got a Zoom meeting at 4 o'clock. So I said, come on, let's go. Let's just walk the dog. So we go out, and we're up on the other neighborhood, and then I realized, oh, it's 3 o'clock. We're, you know, starting to get... I said, well, you know, you're not supposed to look at it, blah, blah, blah. So we walked out, and people are out in the neighborhood, and a woman we see from time to time says, hi, how's it going? Blah, blah, blah. We're talking. She said, do you have glasses? We don't have glasses. No, we don't. In fact, I forgot it was, you know, I was just trying to get through the day. I'm just trying to get the dog. She said, oh, I have a couple extra pairs. Here you go. So we were able to stop. We sat down on a bench and watched. And I said, isn't it interesting? God is showing, hey, by the way, look. Right? Sun, moon, I control that. Such that you can calculate when it's going to happen. That would happen in a random universe without God, right? Of course. Yeah. Recurring. Yeah, that makes a whole lot of mathematical sense, right? So God says, I'm sovereign. So he says, lift up your eyes on high, see who's created these stars. The one who leads forth their host by number, he calls them all by name. Because of the greatness of his might, the strength of his power, not one of them is missing. So while he's doing that, he said, here's a couple of glasses for you. To remind you, I supernaturally superintend the stars, and I intend the provision in your life. So here are glasses. Watch this. So isn't it great when he does that? He just reminds us. So he's saying, as you go through the day, there's probably supernatural provision we just don't even see or forget. So he reminds us, remember my supernatural power, my providence, and my provision. And lastly, he says, we are to celebrate, right? So in 1 Corinthians, he says, for Christ is our Passover also has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us celebrate. So I put celebrate Christ. Celebrate Christ. He who knew no sin became sin on our behalf. So he is our Passover, and he is our unleavened bread, is he not? So the Feast of Unleavened Bread, again, Passover occurred, then 7 days of the feast. So I thought about this. So even think about this for your day. If you start with the Passover, you think about it, Christ is our Passover. What's the response to that? It's the gospel every morning. If you start with Christ as our Passover, right? And then he says, right, have a holy convocation in which there is no work. What does no work remind us of? His provision. So the Feast of Tabernacles started with this idea of his provision, and it ended with a time of remembering his provision because there was no work. And when we remember that, we remember that he ceased working, right? Similar, it's not the Sabbath, but similar to the Sabbath. He is our Sabbath, right? He is our Sabbath. So no work. You remember the Passover and the provision, right? And then you, throughout the day, what do we see? His providence throughout the day. So if you think about the picture of the Passover and the Feast of Tabernacles, just think about your day. Just apply it to your day. We start with Christ is our Passover, right? He is the Passover lamb. Then we look at where his provision, right, throughout the day, and we end with his provision and his providence in the midst of it. So Psalm 92, somebody have their scripture? Psalm 92. Think about Passover, there's provision. This is his loving kindness, his hesed, which means his covenant love. So he says, let me hear your loving kindness, your covenant love in the morning, and your providential faithfulness at night, right? So we, just like you bookend the tabernacle with provision and provision, so he says, we start our day like, think about your day like the Feast of Tabernacles. We start with the Passover, Christ. He is our Passover, right? There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I start here, right? And then his provision. I feel his providence through the day, and I end with his provision. Loving kindness in the morning, faithfulness at night, right? So we can literally live out the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread each day. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily unleavened bread. Unleavened bread. So put down an insight or application today from the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Very glad there's a new self. I knew the old self. Not so good. May the God of all providence, may he bless you, may he keep you, may he cause his face to shine upon you, may he lift up his countenance and grant you shalom, the peace that passes all comprehension deep in your soul. And may the The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and always. May he bless you and keep you. Amen.
Thanks for listening. I hope you have greater hope, assurance, and confidence in your life and a deeper trust in the God of the Bible and his Son, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you his peace, his shalom in your soul and in your life. Until next time, may God bless you and keep you.